Thank you all for standing by. At this time, I would like to inform you that today's call is being recorded. You may disconnect if you have any objections. You may now begin.
Excellent. Thank you. Glenn, would you be so kind as to take roll?
Certainly, Christina. We have on the phone yourself, the chair, Mike Rodenbach, who's vice chair, David Maher, registry constituency, John Bing nominating committee, Lance Griffin, IPC, Edmund Chun, registry constituency, and Avery Doria, nominating committee, and staff, we have got Liz Williams and myself.
Excellent. Welcome, everyone. One of the things that I thought it would be a good idea to do, given that I have just looked at the calendar in the past few days and realized where we are in our time frame, was to talk about what it is we still need to do and when we need to do it by, keeping in mind that our final report is due on the 17th. And to that end, I have identified four key areas. The first would be to document the protections that have been afforded thus far. The second is to identify, and I'm pulling these directly from the statement of work, identify problems that these mechanisms were intended to solve, and although it's not specifically identified in the statement of work, I think it only makes sense that we also identify those that they may have created. Finally, third, decide whether or not to recommend a best practices approach, and fourth, if so, what that is. I realize that's kind of a very broad brush, but within the confines of kind of what it is that the statement of work has outlined for us, is there anything that anyone believes is missing from this? The silence equal acquiescence.
Christina, it's Kelly Smith joining. Sorry, I'm late.
Okay. Hi, Kelly.
And we've had Edmund Chun. No, sorry, we've announced him already.
Christina, it's Liz here. When the rest of the group has spoken, I'll add something in here.
All right. It looks as if no. Well, it sounds as if no one is going to speak, Liz.
Well, it looks too. A couple of things. One is I had been thinking seriously about the time frame too, and I'm very concerned about it, mostly because I have to put all the pieces together for the new TOD's report. And I wondered if it wasn't sensible to go straight to the best practices approach, and I'm happy to have the group howl me down on this one, but I thought that the most sensible thing to do was to have a series of tables on the left, imagining on the left the existing, because the context of this group is within the context of the new TLD's recommendations. On the left-hand side have the 20 recommendations which are going to stand. And to the far left, the principles about whatever. Far left principles, middle, the existing recommendations, and right-hand side, the implementation guidelines. And I would suggest, if the group likes, that we would establish, if that's what's going to be practical, we have a best practices guideline draft table, and I have no idea whether this is going to work for you. That was an adjunct to the existing work that's already been done, because it's very, very important to have the context right. And I'm concerned that the group is not going to be able to, given just the conversations about the surveys alone, reach a consensus position about what might be a best practices guideline, a policy recommendation, but you may well be able to come up with some best practices guidelines. So, for example, high-level principles about protection of the rights of others, about existing rights, about descriptions about existing rights, and then propose some solutions about that, because that's perhaps the best way I can see of the group moving forward quite quickly. And that's a two-page summary.
Well, here's, and I think that's a great idea. I guess what I'm just in trying to draw this out is that there are a number of principles and existing recommendations and implementation guidelines that, frankly, aren't relevant to us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely.
All right.
There's no doubt about that. And so,
okay.
For example, if you had three charts, imagine three columns of principles, recommendations, implementation guidelines, you could say principle 7, recommendation 6, and implementation guideline 21 to 23. They're the ones that this group will address with respect to best practice guidelines. Nothing further than that. remembering also that we've just had the GAC call, and there was some quite interesting things from the GAC principles that might be of assistance to this group too.
Right. I think that's a good idea structurally. I think part of the problem is that I would imagine that there's a number of people on this call who have never seen, you know, those guidelines.
I've got the role here. Lance is the only one, unless I've got the roll call wrong, that wouldn't have. And Lance, is there anything I can do to help you with that?
And Kelly, I believe.
I didn't hear Kelly's voice, but is that...
Peter Olson's here now as well. I'm sorry I'm late.
Oh, and Peter Olson. Okay, so there's a group then that, without being rude, Christina, there's a group that ought to know about the context of the work because that's why they're volunteering for the group, for the work. But it would be helpful if I just sent the executive summary of the New Utilities Report, which included the principles, the recommendations, and the guidelines as they stand.
That would be fine, and I would
okay, cool.
I would love to move on to that. I guess I just want to raise 2 points before we move away from the document the existing protections point. First, there are several summaries that are still outstanding, and as much as I would hate to have a report that excludes them, we're going to soon get to the point where we have no choice. Second, I would just take a straw poll of those on the call. I know that we had talked about reaching out to a registry personnel to space and answer any questions, to get clarification. Is there anybody on the call now who has had success in doing that in terms of they've gotten a contact back, they've gotten a response, they've at least started some kind of dialogue? All right, so that's still outstanding. I'll touch base, I guess, with some folks offline about whether we can facilitate that at all. The third thing would be that in terms of identifying the problems intended to solve and those created, those of you who are on the issues project team, if you would, I'm going to give Margie, she's heading that, I'm going to give her.
I'm on the call.
Oh, hi, Margie.
Hi, sorry.
I'm going to, Margie, I'll give you offline the email addresses of people on your project team, and I think what would be a really good idea, at least how I see it, would be to kind of start off by divvying up the work in terms of one person who is responsible for the documentation, the ICANN-related documentation leading up to, you know, the introduction of this. In other words, what problems were these intended to solve? And then divvy amongst the remaining group all the proof of concept reports, which I think have been posted, as well as the Summit Strategies report, because I think it would be inappropriate to, you know, to purport to identify these issues in terms of both those solved and those created without referring back to those. But that would be something that I would suggest that you coordinate with folks offline, and if you need me to get involved, I'm happy to do so. In the meantime, has everybody received this summary that Liz is sending? Or have their most recent GTLD report up? Liz, this is also available. I'm just trying to think the easiest way to get to it on the ICANN site. Card topics.
Sorry, Christina, I heard you speaking to me. Could you just repeat what you said? I have to be on silent mode because it's currently dinner time and bedtime, so I'm muting the phone so you don't have to have the interruptions of the 2.5-year-old telling me that she's going to draw in my book.
All right. For those of you who have not previously received the current draft final report for new GTLDs, I think the easiest way to get to it, if it hasn't popped up from Liz yet, is to go to the ICANN site, ICANN.org. Once you're there...
No, I'll do it straight away. Christina, don't even describe it. I can just do it in about 3 seconds.
Okay.
Hang on, and I'll just send it to, and I've got the list, Peter, Kelly, Lance, and Margie. Do you have access to the New Utilities Report? Have you seen it?
I don't know if I have.
Okay, fine. In that case, those four people, and I'll just do that right now.
Otherwise, just while Liz is doing that, if you go to the GNSR site and on the menu side on the left, you go down to Current Draft Documents and you'll find all the reports under Current Draft Documents. The URL is http://gnsr.icann.org/draft/.
Coming around now to the whole group.
All right. And I know that based on some of the comments that there's been, I'm sorry, I'm like completely overtaking my headache. I think we need to think a little bit more broadly about best practices in the sense that, for example, I know that some people have opined to me, if not onto the list, that, you know, look, there's no way you can have one single mechanism that applies to you know, every TLD. I personally couldn't agree more. That doesn't mean that you can't kind of drill down and say, for example, that if you are going to have them, these are the three models that you should use, and in implementing them, these are the three things that you can do that will make your life easier as well as, you know, the lives of everyone involved. And, you know, we'll keep the cost down, we'll make the implementation easier, et cetera, et cetera. And I think certainly we can do that. I think going along with this recommendation, the recommendations and the principles, I think,
this is Tim,
I'd
like to get in on that.
Oh, hi, Tim. Tim, just to kind of bring you up to speed, we are looking at the new GTLD report in terms of trying to identify the principles and recommendations and implementation guidelines that we need to be dealing with in our best practices recommendation. Have you previously had that, Tim, the report?
I haven't looked at it real recently, so if there's a new one from this week, I haven't seen it.
Okay.
No, there is not.
All right. I just had a comment on that if we're at that point. If not, I can wait.
Sure, go ahead.
Oh, okay. I'm wondering, I mean, I'm not sure I agree with you, Christina, that we can get down to, well, here are the three that you should use if you do it. I can't imagine that we can foresee what TLDs will be applied for, what their intended uses might be, and the other thing that bothers me about calling something best practices is that it implies that not complying and that there's a negative connotation. And there may be perfectly legitimate reason why, at least in my opinion, why a registry may choose not to to engage in any sunrise process. And so I guess, at least from my perspective, you know, I think it should be up to the individual registries. And what I would prefer to see is that we recommend suggested guidelines to registries that choose to incorporate sunrise processes. Again, leaving it more flexible, given that it's hard to determine going forward what kind of TLDs, what those registries' business models are going to be, et cetera. At least that's my.
I mean, we can certainly frame it that way, and I think one of the things that may come out of, you know, once we've got all of the summaries, we may be able to draw, you know, see some patterns there, not only in terms of what people have done in terms of across the board, but also are the consistent, you know, problems that these have created, you know, and kind of do it in that context. That's part of the reason that I've been really harping on getting these summaries done. Simply because if we don't have the whole puzzle, and particularly if we're missing the .biz piece, you know, I think it's hard to go ahead and do that. But I think looking at the principles, does everybody have this in front of them at the moment?
Yes, I do.
All right. It would seem to me, and I'm not really quite sure how you would even, you know, principle one, I mean, principle two, I think, has been pretty clearly made beyond the scope of this group. You know, principle three, and again, I mean, these are just my comments, looking at them, putting them in context of the statement of work. So anyone who disagrees or has a different view should certainly speak up. You know, and maybe the better way to go is to just say, you know, these are the principles that are kind of, that are the general guidelines, and focus more on the existing recommendations and implementation guidelines. So, Liz, the way you were envisioning this, were you envisioning kind of starting from the guidelines or starting from the recommendations?
I concur with Tim's view about applicability of best practice guidelines and the assumptions that if you don't do it a particular way, then there's some judgment about the registry. So I had thought of representing quite graphically something that the group could come up with. That was, and I'm sorry, I wish I had a whiteboard in front, and we were all in the one room and I could represent it on a whiteboard. But if you imagined a big lot of principles, a middle lot of recommendations, and a middle and the next lot of implementation guidelines, I would be just highlighting in blue and in red, in blue and in blue and in blue across a chain, and then say, look, we've got this principle, we've got this recommendation, we have this implementation guideline. These are what we would recommend are reasonable ways to approach the statement of work.
Right, and Tim, I apologize if and maybe I should have been clear. I completely agree with you, and I'm using best practices simply because that's the language in the statement of work. And perhaps one thing that we should set out early on in the report is that, you know, as a working group, if this is true, there was consensus that best practices was terminology that we did not believe was constructive, and instead we propose blank, whatever it is that we propose. I agree. I mean, you know, suggestions, recommendations that you know, we can decide later what word, and frankly, if anybody has any strong feelings one way or the other, they can start, you know, a dialogue on the list. But I do agree, because I think, I'm just being realistic as to what'll happen if we don't. But anyway, sorry,
Christina, may I, if no one else has a comment, may I just add something else too, please?
Sure. Yeah, go ahead.
Yep. One of the things that I was concerned about is that we made I'll call Tim's statement a caveat statement. I want to just go back a step about the implementation plan and what kind of applications for new TLD strings we'd expect. We have no idea, except beyond the most general terms of what we think people are coming up with. I have some ideas of potential applicants that people have come to me and said, what do you reckon about such and such, and do you think this would get over the line? Now, I never give people advice about what I think would get over the line because I don't know. But what I do say is that no single one application that I'm, a potential application or potential string that I know about fits in the same basket as any other one. So I would be very reluctant to propose a one-size-fits-all solution. Now, I think that maybe addresses Tim's concern. Not only that, the practicalities of the committee, I doubt that the committee, and I'm, because some of the people on the call here are not members of the committee, I doubt that the committee will accept blanket recommendations that have contractual condition obligations upon new applicants for an imposition of a system which requires any kind of guideline to be implemented as a matter of course. I just don't think that practically that is going to happen.
This is Peter in Copenhagen. I've been silent for a while, but I really think that if we hit the nail on the head with this one, it will be adopted by most, if not all, registries that come if we do this right.
Exactly.
Because it will be a great thing, and then hopefully it will be either contractually or de facto part of the way we do things in the future. Because I think it's what I've been come aware of is that the sunrise is a real bear for a lot of people. Everybody, no one likes it.
Peter, can I just ask a clarifying question there? You said something about, if I heard you correctly, if we hit the nail on the head with this, all the registry operators would adopt it as a de facto standard. Did I hear that correctly?
Yes. Yep.
So going from there, that says to me that this is not mandatory requirement for applicants, if I just extrapolate what you just said. It's a way of a service offering for a new TLD operator to say, this is how we'll handle the legitimate rights of existing rights holders, for example. Now, that could well be a competitive advantage in an application process, if you describe it that way. But I would struggle with thinking that it would become a mandatory part of an RFP, because I just can't see that happening.
I'm not into the ICANN mechanisms. What I'm talking about is that if we get a good sunrise or sun, a prior right mechanism that works, I think people will use it. I think that's what our goal has to be. I think that the last one or the last two .mobi and .eu certainly .eu was a, I consider a failure. .mobi did it better, but it wasn't perfect. You know, if we get this right, I think that the, going forward it will be adopted.
Right, and that's the whole idea. In other words, if you are going to do something, these are our suggestions as to possible mechanisms you might want to consider. And if, for example, one aspect of that mechanism requires or anticipates the validation or verification of a claim prior right, here are ways that you might want to think about going through it. So it's not, I've never envisioned this as mandatory. It's just more, if you are going to do this, these are some ways you might want to think about doing it. And it may well be that phrased that way, we can all agree on something, which I think would be fabulous.
Yes, Tim, I agree. I think if we can frame it that way, that
yeah. And I apologize. I should have been clear from the beginning. That's what I meant. I don't think there's any way that, I mean, frankly, I don't think even among the IPC members on this call that you would get a consensus as to what should be done. You know, so I certainly don't expect the working group, let alone the council, to come up with something that would be a one size fits all, or even, you know, a mandatory. Because I don't think, as a practical matter, that will fly. But I think what we need to do is say, if you were going to do this, I mean, exactly what, you know, we've all been saying. If you're going to do it and you're going to do A, B, and C, here are some ways to think about it. And I think kind of going from the recommendations and the guidelines is a good way to put that into context.
Can I have a question, if you wouldn't mind, Christina?
Sure.
Who's writing this?
Well, which part of it?
Well, I just think that this group has just made a spectacular leap into practical, sensible ways of providing advice to potential applicants. A really, really positive leap. If this sounds to me like a little exercise in real value add to the from the work of the group into the actual process, the policy development process, and I would suggest following the theme that Peter has described. I think, to use Peter's words, he said the .eu was a complete failure, the .mobi did it better, but Peter, frankly, I really want to know what in .eu was the failure, and so that becomes the text at the top that says, this is a bloody disaster, we'll never do this again. We suggest we do it this way. An iterative approach is to do it this way and this way and this way. Now, that's excellent. That's great stuff. But it needs to be written by those who are experts at it. And I'm not seeking to shirk any responsibility, but it is not my area of expertise to write these best practice guidelines.
Oh,
so I'd be looking to the group to knuckle down and say, right, well, if this was to get the go-ahead from the committee on the basis of the principles, on the basis of the work that you've done, on the basis of the summaries about all of the introduction of new TLDs in the previous rounds, then that's a fine piece of work, but it really requires some significant writing to be done.
Well, I think probably the best way to do it is to go about, I mean, once we can kind of go across the recommendations and guidelines, is people need to start putting ideas forth. I know I have ideas, I know that Peter has ideas, and I think we need to just kind of, you know, float them and say, you know, kind of and laying it out in the framework that we've been talking about. In terms of trying to identify kind of our preferences. You know, for example, one of the things that, well, Peter, I don't want to steal your thunder, but in terms of the validation verification, I mean, one thing that Peter has come up with is, go ahead, Peter.
What are we talking about? These mainstream
the centralized.
No, I'm on the spot. Yeah, but Sorry, Christina.
No, one of the things that Peter came up with was that, you know, if we're going to have various mechanisms, all of which are going to rely on prior rights, then why not just make it once and for all? Let's have a centralized database. Let's outsource this to somebody who can run it for ICANN. It can be, frankly, even a revenue-generating effort. The registrars don't have to bother with it. The registries don't have to bother with it. And it's incumbent on each potential, you know, prior rights owner to, you know, submit the documentation that's required to substantiate each right it claims to have. And you would have ongoing obligations to maintain that as current. And you would never get into the whole situation of having to, again, you know, and I don't want us to get to talk about that right now, but, you know, that is one thing that, frankly, could apply no matter what mechanism you decided to go with.
Mm.
But anyway.
Very good idea.
Yes, we have quite a few of them where we take into consideration the registry's interest in keeping costs down and not selling the trademark owner stuff they don't want.
Hello?
So does everyone think it would be a good idea to start kind of on the list, you know, floating these ideas around rather than, and you know, so that we can comment on them constructively, you know, in between meetings? I mean, I really think we have to personally, because I just don't see how it's going to get done unless everybody wants to be on the phone with me for the next 2-3 weeks, which I don't want to be on the phone with me for the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, this is Margie. I agree. I think it would be good to start fleshing out some of these proposals and seeing what, you know, what the thoughts are on the list. I think that'd be really useful.
This is Tim. I agree as well.
All right. Let's go to it. I mean, not this minute. But, Liz, do you think it would be a good idea to go through these recommendations or the guidelines? I don't know what you think would be the best way to go forward.
I think it would be really helpful to just step people through it. And actually, if you like, Christina, I can do it quite quickly because I'm so familiar with it. If everybody is online, then that's great. Is there anyone not online at the same time?
Yes, I'm having trouble here for some reason. I don't know what it is, but I'm not online.
Okay. So, Peter, I'll just step through quite slowly for you then. If everyone else is looking at the document on the PDF version of the draft final report, which I just sent around, this document was developed prior to Lisbon. So an excruciating set of meetings took place during the Lisbon week of meetings. And so I'm now currently updating the report as we speak to include the finalized GAC principles, which would fit into the principles section. But the ones that I, and other work that has been taken, that has taken place over the Lisbon meeting, if you refer to the principles section, which is on page... Let me see. Yes, Mummy, can I find horses? No, darling, I cannot find horses. Okay. Principles, never have your children at a conference call. Principle 5 is really, really important. Principle 4 and 5 about technical criteria are really important. Just wait 1 second. Come here. Principle 4 and 5 are really important, and Principle 6 about operational criteria. What's going to happen with those kinds of things are that if you were to think about these in terms of stability and security issues, which are the primary goal for ICANN to introduce new top level domains, then these three principles are going to be the ones that would be sensible to say, look, what kind of instability exists when there is a land rush, when there is false registrations, when there is this, when there is that. So that's the first thing. The second thing, of course, is recommendation 2. And recommendation 2 is the anchor around which I think you should discuss any guidelines. And recommendation 3 about very, very clear cut, must not infringe the existing legal rights of others.
Liz, these are not supposed to be, this is beyond our scope.
Right.
No, this isn't beyond your scope. This is the context for the work. So, for example, the work fits within a framework of existing principles, recommendations, and implementation guidelines. If you looked, if you applied a filter to what you want to do, then, for example, you're writing best practice guidelines, let's use that general term for the sake of brevity, then you would have to say, considering principle one, considering recommendation two, three, and four, and five, then our recommendation would be to do X, Y, and Z.
I just think we're confusing things. What we've been talking about mostly is
second level
registrations. And these recommendations are top level, and the dispute resolution processes that we're
Sorry, Mike, I understand what you're saying, but I'm providing an example for existing principle, existing recommendation, existing implementation guideline.
Okay.
And
so
what
you're saying is we need another principle or at least another recommendation anyway that covers our work?
Yes, that would be helpful because that would be helpful. But if you can't get agreement either between in this group or you don't think you're going to get agreement at the committee level, then I suggest that you stick with best practice guidelines and say, recognizing the principle and also recognizing the GAC principles, which are really, really important, and I sent those around to the group last week, recognizing the existing recommendation that the committee have come up with, recognizing, you know, whereas, we would suggest that in the context of protecting the rights of others, this is what we should do. So it's a logic tree.
Okay.
Yeah? Now, you might not come up with a new recommendation 7 or a new recommendation 21 or a new recommendation whatever in the context of the new TLD's report, but you can absolutely say that in the context of the final report for this group, we looked at this, we reviewed that, we did such and such and such and such and such and such, and we ended up coming up with a guideline that says this is how we ought to approach this particular problem to solve this particular issue, and this is the appropriate tool.
Hi, Christina. It's John Nevitt. I just wanted to let you know I joined.
Hey, John. How are you?
Good.
Is that generally clear? And, of course, recommendation 12 on dispute resolution and challenge processes is really important that need to be established prior to the start of the process.
Yeah.
There is no doubt that if I applied for .Microsoft, the prior rights owner might have a problem with that. And there would be an existing process that would deal with that problem. But it wouldn't deal with issues of .ABC allowing Microsoft to be registered at the second level.
I mean, I think we have a recommendation, at least in the, there's a GAC principle. I think there's also an overall principle somewhere, I thought there was, about requiring registries to somehow limit the, quote, need for defensive registrations.
That's GAC, I think.
Well, there's not only that, but there's also Recommendation 17, and there's also the existing UDRP provisions, and there's also the existing Registrar Accreditation Agreement. So, you know, it's not for want of existing principles and existing contractual conditions that you could actually argue that you would expect new TLD operators to follow the same rules.
Exactly, but more specifically defined. Okay,
Yes, and so, for example, Mike, and I can hear you agreeing with me violently for a change. It's fabulous.
Hey.
It's terrific. So, for example, and I'm not leading the witness and I'm not suggesting that you should do anything, I'm just presenting a hypothetical example that you might wish to say, under the existing terms of the Registrar Accreditation Agreement, the problems are X, Y, and Z.
Mm-hmm.
We would propose a tightened solution that looks like X, Y, and Z. Now, there is no doubt that the Registrar Accreditation Agreement is under reconsideration. That might well be a separate piece of work outside of the new TLD's process that takes place for registrar compliance.
Yeah, I would, I would absolutely echo that it should be outside of that.
Are you agreeing with me too, John?
I'm absolutely agreeing with you that we're not touching the RAA in this form.
No, absolutely, but what I'm saying is that we could, with a final report, we could identify work that is outside the scope of this group, and we could identify a possible solution, and then ship it to Tim Cole and say, Tim and Mike Zupke, guys, look, this has come up out of our work, perhaps we could consider this going forward, how would it look, what would you do, what would you suggest, in a reasonable time frame.
Okay.
I haven't heard anyone writing it yet.
All right, who wants to be on that project team with me? I think everybody, there are people on them. I mean, I think what I might do is just go through the email that's set out where the various project teams were, and Margie, take some of your people, and Mike, take some of your people. Because the more I think about it, I think more kind of the TLD identification, kind of the similarities and variances might be shorter than we anticipated. So, and I can certainly...
Christina, having created such a problem, I'm thinking about how to do it. I'm actually just typing something up now as we're speaking, and it's along the lines of everyone. I'd suggest that we focus on the... Kim, what do you want to call this? Not best practice guideline. What do you want to call it? The toolkit or the protecting the rights of other toolkit or something. I mean, I need a proper sort of frame for it that doesn't give unrealistic expectations.
Yeah, I had said just, you know, suggested guidelines, but
okay.
That may not be quite the formal title you're looking for.
No, I don't need a formal title. What I want to do is to say I want to start structuring some text around helping the group put the suggested guidelines in the right form. So what I might do, Christina, when we've finished this and when I listen to a bit more of the conversation, I'll type up something and I'll say this would be the logic tree, this would how it would look, this would explain and justify why. Now, I really want to be able to use the registry summaries that everybody has put together. There's a few significant ones that are still missing, which I think it would be helpful to have a full set, if we possibly can, with some references to other larger TLD Sunrise periods, if there are any beyond EU and TV and... I can't think of any others. Just off the top of my head.
DCTLDs or DTLDs?
Doesn't matter. Doesn't
that info?
Yeah. Beyond the usual suspects is what I'm actually referring to.
Yeah. They might be out there, but we didn't summarize them.
Yep, okay, that's fine. So I will put that together for the group, and whoever then steps up to the plate and wants to write the suggested guidelines as an output from this group, then so much the better.
This is Ed. We're talking about the guidelines of best practice, and we're talking slightly earlier about, you know, that we probably won't come to consensus on the mechanism, the exact mechanism. I think probably guidelines or best practices are still very detailed or I guess what I was trying to say is that they're sort of a concept that is more high level, you know, it's more like an approach or really like a framework, if you will, more than anything, that we can probably have sort of agreement around, that this is sort of framework, this is approach for this type of thing, rather than guideline or best practice.
Edmund, did you say framework?
Yeah, that word came to mind.
Okay, cool. That's a nice one for me.
I think we definitely, Edmund, I think that's a good idea. But I think with these mechanisms in particular, it's really the devil that's in the details, in the sense that, you know, in theory, you might say, you know, Sunrise is good. I like Sunrise. Just the principle of it. You know, but once you get into the mechanics of how it works, that's where I think people have issues with it on all sides. In other words, the registries and the registrars from the implementation side of the specific details of it. But I think by all means, you know, people should definitely, you know, start circulating kind of general principles, and what I'll do is I'll send around a list of things that I think we need to really start thinking about. I mean, there are definitions that we need to come up with, and, you know, to just kind of have the high-level list that we're working from. But, I mean, you know, for example, and I don't know if Jeff's on the call, but I hope he won't take it personally. I mean, I personally, on a kind of theoretical level, prefer an IP claim process to a sunrise process, because I think a sunrise process does give broader rights to a trademark owner than they might have in the physical world. Having said that, the implementation of .biz created a lot of issues that made it virtually impossible for people, you know, very, very difficult for people to follow. But if you could satisfy these issues or solve these problems, then, you know, I, for one, would be a fan. Sign me up. You know, and I think, for example, you know, Peter and Margie and you know, Kelly from kind of the trademark owner side, and, you know, Tim and Dave, I'm sure, from the registry and registrar side, you know, there are definitely, I would imagine, kind of issues that you all have seen that frankly, you're in a unique position to see.
Christina, it's Liz again. I just want to add another wrinkle, if you don't mind.
Sure, go ahead.
I'm just writing notes as people are speaking, and I've got the following lines, and then I've hit a wall with, given the complexity of IDN applications. Now, I'll go back a step and tell you what I've written. I've said, given the principles, given the recommendations, given the implementation guidelines as they stand, recognize the evidence of the summaries, the questionnaire input, and the prior experience of former, you know, other introductions of UTLDs. Recognizing the cost and complexity of sunrise periods, recognizing the opportunity for gaming, recognizing that registry models are different, registry business models are different, given the need for registrant simplicity, just writing this as I'm going. And then all of a sudden I come up with the, oh God, what do we do about IDN applications?
In what sense?
Are you talking about?
Well, the whole point of designing principles and practices and recommendations for the introduction of new TLDs is that they apply equally to ASCII and IDN registries.
Well, but I think the IDN folks, frankly, have taken that off the table by limiting the extent to which confusing similarity is interpreted.
Oh, I don't think that's the case at all.
Yeah, I don't understand
no.
that either.
No, I don't think that's the case at all. And I think that, and Avery can confirm this because she was, and a couple of others were on the call yesterday with the GNSO GAC, pound to a penny that the GAC are going to revisit their principles with respect to IDNs.
But this is Tim. You know, it's another difficult area because, excuse me, you know, it all depends on what the registry's intent is with regards to IDN. I think Kat's an interesting example, which I wasn't aware of until I was doing the TLD summary. But it's very language specific. So the only language they're really concerned about is Catalan. And when you register a domain name in ASCII, you get the Catalan version of that comes along with it. So they kind of resolve the IDN issue there that there can't be a later conflict with, you know, a Catalan version of the ASCII name. So that's one solution, but, you know, there might be others, you know, when you're talking about .com, who's got, supporting, I don't know how many different languages, given all the scripts that they've got that they're supporting. So it can go from something as simple as .cat to something as complicated as general use TLD as .com. But again, it might be, you know, that this might be one area where we do need to stay kind of high level and aren't able to get into the details and that have to be filled in later.
This is Peter in Copenhagen. In Denmark, we had an IDN rollout with a very good sunrise period, or rather IP claim period, and I've reported this in the materials. So I would agree with Tim that just because it's an IDN doesn't mean it's a bad thing. And I don't know if we have to get bogged down by this, but I mean you can do it a different way, and I'm sure that .eu will also have an IDN rollout at some point. You know, right now it's only the 26 letters that you have in the U.S. and in England that you can use, but there's a lot of other European letters, and they'll have to be rolled out at some point. So we can't get phased by the fact that there's IDNs out there. That we just have to roll with the punches.
I think that we have to make sure that whatever solution we propose scales to the
IDN case, whether we're talking about books of all marks or anything else, that we look at it not just in terms of scaling to one character set, the ASCII, but scaling to the many that are IDN. And the other thing is dealing with the variance in the marking laws of all the nations that separately or in combination claim or make claims towards a particular IDN character set. So it's a complexity and it's a scaling difference that I think IDN makes.
So maybe I completely misunderstood. Are we talking about kind of the broader, you know, there's no reason you couldn't have, for example, you know, an IP claim process apply also to an IDN, but the particular application or the grounds on which an IP claim could be based would depend on the particular character set. You're not talking about how do you resolve the disputes in terms of allocation. Because if it's the former, then I completely agree. I mean, if it's the latter, then that's, you know, I just think that's going to be really hard to figure out.
Well, I really think if we're coming up with solutions for allocation or principles or guidelines for allocation, then we have to deal with IDN there. Wherever we're dealing with, you know, solutions and recommendations, we have to deal with both. I think that's where the scalability and variability, you know, necessity comes in. And I think that you know, Liz is right. I mean, we are going to be getting a separate document. And the IDN working group basically just said, oh, yeah, these are prose problems when it came to those. And, you know, and basically said that those issues aren't in ours. But, of course, IDN will have, I mean, Pro will have to deal with the IDN aspect.
I still think I'm thinking about a different problem, but
yep, that might be it.
No, I think what I keep getting stuck on is, you know, say for example, and maybe this is the level of detail that we can't get to and we don't need to get to, and that's why I keep getting hung up on it. In terms of, again, using the IP claim process as an example, are we expected to say, okay, if you are going to have, for example, an IP claim based model and you are an IDN, you need to, you know, it is, we suggest that you equate the English and spoken language character rights automatically. And if that's not what we're supposed to be doing, then I'm fine. I'm 100% with you. But if we have to get down to that level, then I'm kind of concerned.
Christina, I hope that's not what we're supposed to be doing.
Okay, good. All right, fine.
Because I don't think we can do. I mean, as soon as you take what you just said, which I know you weren't intending as a recommendation, but you know, you take that idea and you try to apply it to Chinese, for example, and it completely falls apart.
Okay, good. Then what I said at the beginning made sense in the context of what I was thinking about, but not in the context of what talking about. Okay,
I guess the
I'm good.
Thing I'm
Never mind.
To, I guess the thing I'm trying to say is if you can't do it in Chinese, then you really can't do it anywhere else.
And who are you expecting to make the decision? Coming back from an institutional perspective, if this group or a group similar to it doesn't provide ICAMA's recommendations about the policy around this with respect to the introduction of IDNs to enable us to run a robust IDN application process, then who is going to do it? The GAC certainly won't. So I'd suggest that whilst it might be easy to say, well, you know, it's sort of too hard and too detailed, where else are we supposed to get the guidance from? Well,
this is Tim. Can I just comment on that?
Yeah.
I guess it seems to me that if we're looking at this as suggested guidelines, I guess I don't see where these guidelines couldn't apply in principle to any language. How they're actually implemented is going to get more complicated, and it might be different based on the language or the culture or, you know, the intended use of the TLD, and those are the areas where I don't know how we can drill down to that level and provide recommendations based on that. But I agree with Aubrey. I don't see any reason why we can't, at a little bit of a higher level, come up with suggested guidelines that could apply across to any language or culture, at least to some extent.
Mike Rodenbaugh, I agree with that, Tim. And Aubrey, I think we need to look at IDN principles. I mean, obviously the UDRP, for example, applies also to IDNs. There's no reason why we shouldn't, when we're looking at ASCII sunrise periods, also try to adopt principles for IDN sunrise periods, because we've seen a lot of them happen already and more all the time.
Well, it sounds as if that there's agreement that as long as we keep it on a pretty high level, that there's no reason that we can't. But that if we, and this is the thing I was getting really bogged down in, but if there's the expectation that we will be providing implementation deal guidance on a kind of by TLD basis, a lot of which will vary depending upon the country and the language, I don't think we can do that. And that's what I'm... Do we have consensus on that?
I agree.
Yeah.
Nope.
All right. Yay, we agreed on something. All right.
I was on mute.
And okay.
I'm sort of agreeing, as long as we do it on an equal basis, so that we don't say that in some places we can go this deep, but we don't know if it applies to others, so it really only applies to these that we understand well. So as long as we're keeping everything sort of on a par at that same high level, and then just basically for proof of thought and as thought experiments, basically dipping down a little and say, okay, does this work in the complexity of X, Y, and Z? Yeah, it seems to work. We don't have to design the implementation, so we do have to do the thought experiment to make sure that it's at least somewhat reasonable, but that we keep everything at the same high level, then yeah, I do agree, but I'm not sure if that's what you said.
Yeah, I don't know about that, only because my concern is, for example, you know, in many cases, what constitutes a prior right, or what we define as a prior right, might be completely antithetical to you know, the scope of prior rights in mainland China, for example.
Yeah, but I think that's the issue, is that we are an international body, and that the we is this world community, and therefore the rules have to, and the policy principles have to make sense at some level on a global basis. That we're not an American or a British or a whatever organization, and therefore we have to, whatever we come out with in policy has to be reasonable. And that the GAC and each of the individual countries can look at it and sort of, you know, comment reasonably, and then we'll have to deal with that. But I just don't see we can do a U.S.-centric because we understand that better.
No, and I don't mean to suggest that. I just would imagine that there are going to be things that very well may be completely contrary to local law, and I just don't know how to identify those. I mean, that's my concern. I mean, maybe what we should do is just start at the high level and see what we can do in terms of detail, and then once we get to that point, identify implementation concerns that we may have with regard to IDN, simply because we don't have the knowledge. I mean, is there anybody on this call that reads Chinese? No. Or, you know, reads Cyrillic? I mean, you know, there's just huge gaps in what we could even opine on.
I don't know if that helps, but no. I mean, it's beyond who reads what. You know, but yeah, no, I understand what I'm worrying about and being concerned about is putting in a policy that then needs to be quickly obviated or accepted or something, so that we have basically a patchwork of, well, here's the policy except for these folks and here's the policy for those. And so I'm not saying we can't do it, I'm not saying there's probably a not, but we have to keep our policy recommendations, I think, as much as possible at a high enough level so that they are generally applicable.
All right.
And this is Tim, and I think that's the issue that I was trying to get to, is that we can't really set a policy in this regard. I think we can suggest guidelines And they may not cover everything, and I think that the whole point is that we know that they can't, unless we have a whole lot more time to evaluate, you know, all the different things we were just talking about that could apply based on different languages and cultural differences and local laws. We just have to be reasonable unless, you know, the committee's going to extend this working group by, you know, a year and a half or something. They're just, you know, it's going to be pretty tough to get to
right.
on that level of detail.
Yeah, I guess I can accept that we don't do policy. We just do guidelines. And that guidelines are nationally probably holistic. And that it's something that's sort of a living body of work that grows as we gain more experience.
Exactly.
All right. Is there any other outstanding requests from another working group that we need to focus on? Is there anything from the reserve names? I thought there was something at one point, but then I've never really heard from Chuck or anyone.
I don't think so.
All right.
Yeah, I think it might have got resolved in the extension of the working group and what they were reassigned to do.
All right.
Yeah, there may still be a request coming out of that group, but not aware of anything.
All right, I'm just trying to think about the way to structure this.
Well, what happened to our survey?
Questionnaire,
sorry.
The questionnaire. When we're done, I'm going to send everybody a T-shirt that says it's a questionnaire.
Mike, it's Liz here. So, all jokes aside, I have nearly completed the questionnaire. I've had significant computer and technical problems over the last couple of days, which anyone who is on the PDP FIRB 06 will know full well about. I seem to have resolved those issues. It's been incredibly frustrating, and I'm behind the eight ball on finishing the questionnaire, but it should be done within the next little bit, and then I'm just going to send it out. I did speak to Kieran McCarthy, who runs our public participation, and asked him if I sent him documentation, would he load it onto the public participation site and do it, and he's agreed to do that. So I'll be pretty ready, I would have thought, first thing in the morning to actually send it to the group and then distribute it.
Right.
And Kim, thank you very much for your comments. But frankly, I had a lot of stuff to wade through to make sure that I was actually reflecting in the final version what the group actually intended to do, because last week's conference call did yield a whole bunch more of input that I was not expecting, but I'm really glad that I've got. What I've done also is, and I've just got it open in front of me, just bear with me 1 second, I have extended the date until the 27th of April for receiving responses.
All right. I have a question, and I hate to put you all on the spot, but Tim, David, John, and Edmund, and I think that covers all of our registrar and registry people right now. I know that Jeff Newman had raised some concerns about, you know, that the questionnaire couldn't and wouldn't go to the full scope of registry and registrar issues. I mean, above and beyond the proof of concept reports, I mean, what do you see as the best way to make sure that those inputs are incorporated in the sense of, you know, are the those two constituencies planning to put forth, you know, informal statements? Do I need to kind of send something to them? Do we want to talk? And I think if we're going to do it, talk through email about, you know, what type of outreach you all feel needs to be done. And I don't mean to say by focusing on these two constituencies that there doesn't need to be additional ones. It's just these two I know in particular have felt strongly that the questionnaire, you know, is not something that they would have targeted the way they did. Gentlemen?
This is John. I don't have specific comments in response other than say that the registrar constituency has not taken any position on the survey or the questionnaire or whatever we want to call it, and if any comments from registrars that are on this working group or outside of this working group are all, at this point, individual comments.
But I guess what I'm getting at is how are we going to get your input, your constituency's input, as to, you know, what you all have seen above and beyond, you know, and obviously the proven concept reports are only at the registry level as far as I know. I mean, I have no idea whether
the issues or problems or what have you, complexities that raised at the registry level are necessarily mirrored at the registrar level. I would doubt it, but I don't know. So I guess that's what I'm trying to find out from you all is, you know, do you anticipate that there will be any input? Is there something that we need to do as a working group to, you know, invite that input?
This is David. The person who was really most involved in this is Jeff, and it's too bad that he's not on the call. .org never had a sunrise provision, and it seems to me that my own personal viewpoint, which is not that of the registry constituency, is that the questionnaire, to the extent that it's able to develop some information, I see no objection to it. Is Edmund on?
I'm here.
Did you have something more specific about the questionnaire?
Well, again, I guess you pointed out, I mean, Jeff is, has some strong views. I have some views of my own. I sent in some of the edits, my thoughts. I don't think we, as a constituency, I guess, David, you're probably in a better position to talk about this, but I don't think we have a particular position at this particular point. As I mentioned on the list, I agree with a good amount of what Jeff says.
Tim?
My feeling has been what the survey can do to certainly gather facts, and I think there's some good questions on the survey that will actually do that, and that'll be useful. I'm not completely convinced the other group of questions is going to be as useful, but I do appreciate the fact that the survey will be reorganized to kind of separate those out. But what I would prefer to see, and John may have a different view, is that the group does ask the registries and the registrars for some sort of statement. And it might be a combination of, you know, here's a majority view, here's a minority view, or here are two equal views, because I think that could very well be the way it would turn out among registrars. If we move forward with the survey to ask for something like that separately, if that can be provided within the time frame.
I think that's a great idea. I'm just wondering kind of technically how to go about it, because it's my understanding that many constituencies have formal procedural guidelines regarding formal statements, and that those guidelines require, 45 days of circulation or 60 days of circulation, or, you know, as a practical matter, anything that requires less than 30 days to comment, that window has closed for us. And this is something somebody raised, very early on, which is why we were kind of going informally. I mean, would you suggest that maybe there would be kind of I can make it in an email to, the chairs of the constituencies, and I would be happy to have your all's input on how to draft it, but just an make it clear that it's an informal request for your input into the issues that the working group is looking at. Would that work? Or do you think we're better off waiting until we have a report and then, I don't know when that'll be actually, and then circulating that for comments?
This is John. A formal request for informal input would be helpful.
Okay.
I mean, Margie, is Margie on?
Yeah, I'm on.
Oh, Margie, I'm sorry.
No, that's all right.
How did we leave it? Do you recall at our last meeting?
Yeah, sure. I told the group that we were going to put together a questionnaire and that we'd be posting it to the list. So we could, I think that was kind of the intent once the thing gets finalized to post it to our email list and see how many people would respond. And then it would be more of an informal thing as opposed to a formal constituency position. think that works, Don?
Yeah, I do. Tim, you agree?
Yeah, that would be fine. I think we just need to encourage registrars who are responding to be sure and, you know, comment, not just tick boxes, because I think that, you know, the experiences that they've had are valuable here, especially in this, you know, given what we're talking about here. And so just ticking boxes, hopefully we'll get a good set of comments along with it about the experiences that they've had.
All right. Liz, I have a question actually to that end, the kind of provide any comments section at the end. Does that have a space limitation or a word character limitation?
Sorry, Christina, I was just coming off mute. Just say that again, please.
I think it is really important that everybody who completes the questionnaire have the ability to enter comments. And I was just curious as to whether the questionnaire in its current form had any structural limitations on the length of those comments?
Nope.
Okay. So somebody could, you know, put in 5 pages if that's what they were
told
to do.
If they wished.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
No problem.
Okay.
I'm not limiting to a character set or a string of characters.
Excellent. Does anybody have anything else that they want to specifically raise now, as opposed to continuing a dialogue on the? All right. What I would really encourage everyone to do is to start posting to the list ideas or suggestions that they may have as to, you know, guidelines, whether it's at kind of the 30,000-foot level or the 100,000-foot level or whatnot. And I guess the one thing that I would really encourage people to do is, to the extent that you are criticizing a process that members of this working group may have designed and may feel, and I think, you know, this applies to more than one person, I think, you know, we need to be constructive. And if we're going to say, you know, this aspect of Sunrise didn't work and this is why, I think we also, whoever's posting a comment like that, needs to also say, and this is what I think would perhaps minimize the impact of that problem. Because I think, you know, coming back to the council and saying, you know, nobody liked any of these and we had problems with all of them, but without being able to say, you know, and here are some potential solutions or at least alternatives that need further examination, I don't think that serves us well if we can't do something instructive. And I guess that's really it. Oh, just a quick call. For people, I know that Margie and Peter and Kelly are, and Mike is there anybody else on the call that's going to be in Chicago for the INTA annual meeting?
I live here, and I'm registered.
Oh, excellent. Because I was just thinking, depending upon, you know, how my schedule goes, and this is obviously true for anyone, that, you know, maybe we could actually all just have a social lunch on Wednesday before our call. Just because I know that we don't really get much chance to meet. But anyway, I can circulate something later about that.
Could I, whoever is going to be at the INTA convention is warmly invited to the Sunshine cocktail party Tuesday, 4:30 at the Hyatt Regency. And I think I've sent one or two of you an invite already. Who is going to be there?
I am. This is Christina. Actually, I think I've already RSVP'd.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I think, David, thanks for the invite, but I think I cannot make it because of Yahoo's doing a party at that time as well.
Oh, that's Mike?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Anyone else?
Yeah, this is Margie. I'll be there.
Okay.
But I think I may already be have something else at that time.
Yeah, actually, you should be coming to our...
Yeah, I think I RSVP'd for that.
All right. Well, thank you everyone. I really appreciate it. And I would just encourage everyone to make active use of the email list over the next several weeks, because I think that's the only way we're going to get this done on time. So have a good day, and until next week.
Thanks.
All right.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks, Christina.
Bye, everybody.